I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about the Stakhanovite movement this week.
Yes.
But we also were going to talk about Succession.
Yes.
Which makes me happy to talk about because that show is stressful but very enjoyable. And I will tell you how I started watching it.
I've watched none of it.
This is one of those shows that I started watching on a flight on my way out to California.
Okay.
And I came to it very late, like pretty recently, like in end of 2023. So I got to mainline the whole thing, which is kind of nice. But I watched 2 episodes on my way out there because I didn't start it right away. And like, I was obsessed. The whole time we were in California, I wouldn't stop talking about it. And I was almost excited for a really good trip that I was having to end so I could get back on a plane and watch more episodes. That's nice. How good it was. And it's been great. And it had one of the best final seasons of a show ever. Like, just satisfying and delicious and painful and good. And I'm delighted it's getting so many awards.
Yeah. I have watched none of it, as I just said. We have an accidental theme for the week of TV-inspired episodes that Tracy's watched none of.
I will say this. I don't know if you will like it or not for a very specific reason.
Is that reason throw up?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's ever any throw up. No, but I will. I don't want to out you. So stop me if you're like, don't. But I think you've been pretty public. You don't like The Office.
Yeah.
Because like the embarrassment comedy in an office setting, which we have all lived through, is just uncomfortable.
I have a hard time with any TV show where part of the setup is people at work having a bad and often cringy time because of their terrible bosses.
So imagine that The Office is a really spectacularly written drama. I don't know that you would enjoy it for this reason.
I think it would stress me out.
I think it might. There are things in it that you and I, having worked for in a variety of large corporations.
Yeah.
I mean, I white-knuckled some moments for sure.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I have been there when like a boss way up the chain makes a decision that they think is great.
Uh-huh.
And everyone under them has to figure out how to execute it and it's often painful and none of those people's needs are ever considered. And there is a lot of that on this show.
Well, there are shows that are set in workplaces and those workplaces have dysfunctions. But the episodes often end with, like, a resolution.
Nope.
Okay. So I'm just going to give an example. So I know people, when we discuss things like this, people are often compelled to write in with opinions. And so I'm just going to give an example of some shows I have liked that are also about dysfunctional workplaces. Superstore, I really enjoyed.
Fun.
And, you know, and there's times in that show when, like, managers or bosses are just making bad decisions. But, you know, often there's a resolution. Better Off Ted, similarly.
Mm-hmm.
The workplace in Better Off Ted, very dysfunctional, but the episodes felt sort of resolved and kind of optimistic in some ways sometimes in a way that I found better. When we, you know, our show is part of a company that's been through just a whole series of acquisitions and mergers and spinoffs and whatever. And during one of those, I was promoted into management and was given management training, and there were scenes from The Office that were used as like the conversation starter for sort of how not. And I was like, this is why I can't watch this show. Like, I just, I want to fix those people's workplace so it's not doing this to them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I will say you don't see a lot of like the lower level employees on Succession. You're seeing like the family that runs this business and their messed up inner relations and how they are all jockeying for power.
Sure.
Which to me just leaves like the grossest taste in my mouth. Like, I don't have whatever ambition that is to run any, like, I don't, but it's very compelling and all of the acting is spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, there is no weak link in that chain. And it's kind of interesting because you get a, you start to get a little invested in certain characters thinking like, oh, this is the one who has a little bit of a conscience. And if they can just nurture that seed and grow a tree of actual good judgment and No, that tree doesn't, it gets, no,
it's not gonna
it doesn't
happen.
So don't get attached to any, but it is spectacular television and I love it. So that is
yeah.
Why it inspired the Staccatify Movement episode. But I also have such feelings about this moment. Because like I said at the end of the episode, I have a weird, I feel really bad for Alexei Stakhanov in the midst of all of it.
Yes.
I do not feel good about him selecting a 14-year-old as his bride.
Yes.
So gross. But I do think, like I said, he was a guy who did not have a lot of education, but was a pretty good minor. And they were like, we can exploit that. Sure. And I, it just is like, and then it was gone and he didn't know how to cope with his life anymore. And I think that's, it's a little bit heartbreaking. It's one of those things where you're like, if you had not, if none of that had happened, would he have, you know, lived out his life with Yevdokia and their kids and been poor and probably not having a great and luxurious life, but, you know, not the extreme roller coaster that his life became.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I hope his surviving children, I think his daughters are still alive. I hope they are prosperous and faring very well, but I don't know. It's not my business to look into their lives.
No.
I wondered how you would perceive some of this as interlocking into what we had talked about on, you know, the famine discussion, because you did the research on the Holodomor episode.
Yeah.
Did it conjure any thoughts or like, were you like, I hadn't thought about how this led to this led to this, or you usually have a pretty good holistic sense of how it all plays out.
This is not the only effort, like Stalin's 5-year plans, not the only effort to like, let's just totally revolutionize how things work.
Oh, right.
That then went very badly and caused a famine or other strife and huge death tolls. And so I feel like now I am really cynical. Anytime I hear any proposal for any kind of effort like that, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to go great. And with this one in particular, so much of the Holodomor episode was focused specifically on like farming and grain and food that I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about like industry and what happened after that and all of
right.
all of that. So it's definitely all part of the same arc of a lot of really radical plans that did not work well.
Right.
Some of which on the surface seemed kind of compelling. Like, one of the things that I was thinking about as we talked about this was, like, all the praise for labor. Like, I can absolutely understand why a lot of folks who were in the labor movement in the United States were like, yeah, this is the way that, like, and, like, had a lot of, especially in at the outset, like, very pro-Soviet ideas until it became clear that, like, a lot of things were leading to famine and destruction and death. Because when you're talking about the rights of workers and praising the worker and, like, praising innovations that came from the worker, well, I'm like, yeah, I can totally see how people might just, like, eat that up when you're in a movement that's, like, trying to fight for the basic rights of the worker.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that in your big sweeping changes are bad is that you're never going to get on board with my internet time idea.
As long as your internet time does not lead to mass famine and death.
One
and
would hope.
Liquidating a class of
dear Lord, no.
People.
No one's ever going to. I hope people know that while I do love the concept of internet time, I am joking. I'm not really trying to start a movement. But man, it would be so cool. Let's just all take a week off and then we just start the clocks over again. Because that would work. That's no problem. I feel like I'm exactly the person. See, this is exactly why I should never have a position of extreme power, because nobody who's like kind of a creative, dreamy kind of person should do that. Because then I say that and it sounds like a great idea to me. And there are a bunch of other people that go, oh, how are we going to do this? Shoot, didn't even think this through. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. I'm having a flashback to the time when we were owned by a previous company and they changed all of our email overnight and didn't tell anybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People thought they were fired.
Yeah, because none of us could log in.
Yeah. Went to log in to their email over the weekend. Their account did not exist anymore. They were like, do I still work here?
Yeah. It was a wild time.
Yeah.
Wild times.
It was the time I got in trouble for yelling at some people for having not communicated that.
You got in trouble for that?
I don't know if I got in trouble for that. Getting in trouble is probably too strong a word. I sent a very pointed email, which was maybe too pointed. And the response I got to it was not like, oh, you are so right. I absolutely should go apologize to everyone who thought they were fired. It was so many years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a previous iteration of our thing. I know. It was just a wild time. Every company, by the way, has been through that at some point in time. I mean, I can't. Anytime I talk to friends who work for some big corporation or even a small corporation, small companies have problems too, for sure. It's like they all have some absurd story of like, and then the decision was made to give us all a baby goat for Fridays. Like, there's always some wacky thing that someone thinks is going to be a big innovation and, of course, turns into an absolute stressful train wreck. I don't know the solution there, because I do think, like, sometimes you have to shake stuff up, but it's hard to do that and maintain, like, the through line that people need to get their jobs done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky. Tricky. Anyway, these are our hippie talks on big business. Yeah.
I think part of my email had said, I'm probably going to get in trouble for sending this email. And the response included, if you have to put in the sentence, I'm probably going to get in trouble for sending this email, don't send the email. And I was like, we're not going to agree on this.
Meow, meow, meow. Yeah.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
We also talked about Emily Warren Roebling this week in our accidental theme of stuff inspired by TV that I didn't watch.
I have not watched this show.
Yeah, in this case, neither of us has watched the show The Gilded Age.
I was too busy getting up early so that I could watch an episode of Succession before I got to work.
So it's a show I may watch sometime. I have not watched it. So while I was doing research on this episode, I listened to an episode of the podcast Bowery Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a podcast, yeah, about New York history. It was sort of like a background knowledge listening for me. This is an episode that they put out that was about all three of the Roeblings, so John and Washington and Emily Warren Roebling. And near the beginning of it, they were talking about favorite bridges designed by John Roebling. And one of them says that he particularly likes this one that is over the Delaware River near the New York-Pennsylvania border, not far from Port Jervis. And I was like, hang on. I know exactly what you're talking about. Let me look. And every fall, a bunch of friends of mine, we go in together. When I say a bunch, I mean like 30 of us. And we rent what is effectively a mansion that has sleeping space for 30 people, which you can do when you have 30 people
right,
all pitching in on the cost. And as we drive out to this place, there is this weird one-lane bridge that we drive over. And it has always been weird to me, number one, that it is a one-lane bridge. Traffic goes on it in both directions. So you got to yield if it's coming from the other way. But then also just the structure of it seemed odd to me. I was like, this bridge, it's weird to have a one-lane bridge. You don't see many of those. I know they exist, especially in more rural areas, but like you don't see that many of them. And just the building of it was weird. Turns out, as I learned from this episode of the Bowery Boys, that this was originally an aqueduct that John Roebling designed. And that coal barges would be floated across it. And I was like, well, that answers why this bridge has also always seemed so weirdly designed to me. So then, of course, I immediately got into the group chat with the friends that, you know, some of the friends that I go on this trip with every year. And I was like, hey, you know that one-way bridge that we are always driving over? Here's why it's so weird. So that was great. Some things came up in the research for this that didn't make it into the episode. One is that there was a report in one of the newspapers in 1890 from Trenton, New Jersey. And I'm just going to read it. Quote, State Dairy Inspector McGuire is investigating the cause of the sickness which attacked two or three dozen of the guests at a barn party given by Mrs. Washington A. Roebling on Friday evening. None of these cases so far have been fatal.
Bum, bum, bum.
I didn't find any other anything about this, but I was, you know, writing just a whole story in my head about, you know, the party that Emily Warren Roebling threw where everybody got food poisoning.
Yeah.
It's what I'm assuming happened there. Saw contradictory accounts of whether she had resigned from her leadership position at the Daughters of the American Revolution because of her health, or whether she was voted out in something that sounded like it was full of drama.
I mean,
I could not confirm which of those was it does. I was like, that sounds like maybe a good cover story, but I don't actually know.
Right. I mean, I am now probably writing historical fan fiction, but like, given the nature of that piece that she wrote near the end of her life about her son even not believing she was capable of what she was capable of and stuff.
That was a letter to him, yeah.
Was she getting real frustrated with people towards the end and maybe just like tired of dealing with the things she had been? I mean, she was so accomplished in so many ways. And I particularly marvel at how much education she continued to go after, you know, in her very adult life. And so I could see someone like that eventually hitting that tipping point of like, but you are treating me like a delicate flower. I have all the skills and knowledge.
Yeah.
And maybe that becoming a grading point in social situations.
That makes sense.
Or maybe, uncharacteristically, some other members of that group were like, what did you say about foreign husbands? I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't love that at all.
No.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So we said that there's a ton of correspondence between her and Washington that survives in a collection, but they haven't been published for everyone to read, right?
Right.
There are a couple of quotes from them that have circulated in a lot of articles. One is actually not between Washington and Emily, but was a letter that Washington wrote to his sister right after they met. And I don't remember the exact wording, but he was talking about having met this woman, and he said something like, so yes, someone has finally captured your brother Washi's heart. And the fact that he referred to himself as Washi, I found really charming. And I'm like, I'm guessing this is probably like the family nickname for him. The other was, and I think this might have also been a letter from him to his sister, not a letter. This was also to his sister. So he wrote, he described her as, quote, a most entertaining talker, which is a mighty good thing, you know. I myself being so stupid. I loved that also. You had remarked on that address in sort of the moment where we took a little sponsor break. You had commented on the address at the alumni dinner. I can't remember the exact wording of what you said, but it was something to the effect of, man, that guy could really write a speech.
Yeah. I mean, like, we were both really quite moved by it during recording.
We were both very emotionally overcome by this very flowery, beautiful description, you know, which has some elements today that come across as, I would say, a little maybe patronizing, but like still very, very beautifully written. So Rossiter W. Raymond, who gave that address, was a mining engineer. He was not a graduate of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. And as I understand it, the reason he was giving the address at this alumni dinner was specifically because he wrote a good speech. He had a reputation as a speechmaker. So, like, he gave this speech for that reason, not because he was affiliated with the Institute.
Well, he gave a good speech. That's a really good speech. As you said, some of it obviously patronizing, which is part and parcel of its time.
Right.
But it's also really like, in terms of a narrative, it's just beautifully structured.
Yeah.
I love it. You dream that someone would write such a speech about me. My goodness.
Yeah. There are a lot of sort of more recent write-ups that are really focused on Emily and the ground she broke into a space that women were not part of.
Right.
Which, yes, super important. I think it's also really important to talk about disability and access and accommodations and things like that, because still today, there are a lot of people who are skilled in whatever field, but like, an office is not accessible to them, right? In a lot of cases, like the default in the United States, while we do have things like the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is a minimum, not the end all be all of everything.
Right.
Like, there are still places, plenty of places where sort of the go-to response is, well, like, that person obviously can't do that job, instead of how can we make this job accessible to that person who has this expertise?
Right. I mean, I get frustrated too. I'm sure you have run across this, where there are discussions about situations like that, and there's always some person who thinks they are telling it like it is, and they're like, why should jobs have to make special dispensations so this one person can get blah, 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 blah. And I get irate, which I know you do as well. And it's like, no, the point is that everyone could do that job.
Yeah.
It's not just for this one person. In this case, there might be one person you can easily point to and say they are the beneficiary of the work that we're immediately doing to like make this place accessible. But that will mean that going forward, it is accessible to everyone.
Right.
That is the point. Like, it makes me rabid angry.
Yeah. My mom, when my mom went back to work after my brother and I were little, because she stayed home with us for a little bit after some years after my brother was born, when she went back to work, she spent the entire rest of her career working with disabled people. So she taught disabled adults. She worked in a couple of different roles in long-term care for kids, disabled kids who had like really, really high support needs. And then she herself started to become disabled. And the place she was working, which was literally residential care for disabled children, did not want to accommodate my mom's disability.
That is the wildest.
So this is not a new thing. It's progress has been made since the days of Emily Warren Roebling and her husband, but not to the point that we need to, in my opinion.
Yep. Sure.
So I think that's where we can leave it today.
Fingers crossed for better futures.
Yeah. Yeah. So, happy Friday, whatever's happening this weekend for you. I hope it goes well. We will be back with a Saturday Classic tomorrow. We will have something brand new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.